When the COVID-19 pandemic forever changed our lives, it also forever changed the way we receive primary health care. In an instant, healthcare went digital. Thankfully, foundational tools were in place that allowed us to connect with our doctors and clinics, and we were afforded the opportunity to receive basic care. Well, telehealth had been in place for many in remote and rural communities that were enrolled in the community paramedicine program. Most British Columbians were required to visit their doctor for all and any healthcare need. Well, now we're all eligible to receive ongoing monitored healthcare from home. The delivery of those services demands a complex and multidisciplinary approach that relies heavily on technology. So it can be done, but doing so will require a rollout of many new mobile applications that we apparently want. And I say that because in a recent poll, more than 55% of us said, yes, we like digital health and we want more of it. In other words, no going back, please. That's great. However, developing, testing, and implementing healthcare technology is challenging. It's very complex. And healthcare professionals are not technology developers and vice versa. Thankfully, we're on the cutting edge, especially here in BC. The Digital Health Circle is drawing on a center of excellence in technology development in BC that is coupled with healthcare rollout experts. I invited Dr. Sylvain Morneau of Digital Health Circle to join me for a conversation that matters about how the delivery of healthcare is going to happen going forward, especially digitally, the expertise he and his team bring to technology innovators, and why BC is positioned to be a world leader in online healthcare. Dr. Morneau, thank you for joining me. Let's start with an overview of digital healthcare delivery. How big of a challenge is it to, you know, to meet the needs of the system and also meet the needs of patients?
I think, you know, like you really point the need of the population. I think it's pretty clear with the polling that we've done with Rashid Koh, with research and co, that we show that there is a strong need, but also like an appetite to discover those tools and to use them. The difficulty that we are having is the merging between those tools and the medical system or the healthcare system. That's where is a challenge. And that's why we created Digital Health Circle, which is an initiative that has been built through Simon Fraser University to really push forward the envelope to create a community-based organization that will link all the stakeholders in the health sector around innovation and around trying to find new solution to answer the need of Canadians.
So when you talk about all of those stakeholders, who are we talking about? From patient through to, you know, healthcare practitioner, there's a variety of other agencies and institutions and applications that are all involved. What does that complex network look like?
Yeah, you use the right word. It's extremely complex, the network, because first thing that comes to mind is like, oh, it's going to be like, you know, makes sense if I interview patient to create technology and then everything will be okay because I answer the need of the patient. But unfortunately, the picture is not as or quite simple. The point is like we need to hear the patient for sure, but also the caretakers, the families. But outside of that, there is also the whole chain of medical care. The nurses, medical practitioners, but also the institute of what is the healthcare system, the health authorities, for example, in BC, the hospital or the clinics, and also, you know, what is it possible when we talk to the technical side of the equation, you know? What can we really do that can be easy and used on daily basis and that can really push the needle forward? So that kind of like the part of the ecosystem. But then we also discover that there is also novelty and the innovation that need to go into this product where academia has a very important role to play with the leader universities in BC, such as Simon Fraser University.
Right. You are working with Simon Fraser University. It's kind of what your lead in many ways on this that helps you create the network. Tell me about how it came together.
Well, I think, like, you know, this has been really the push of the executive team at Simon Fraser University that allow us to be forward thinking. So this is our president, Joy Johnson, and Dugan O'Neill, our vice president, research and international, who really give us like carte blanche to push forward this notion of community innovation. So to create this model where we talk about co-creation with all the stakeholders of the field of digital health. And through that, we went to, you know, involve students, faculties, but also community partners, not-for-profit, and industry, and the health authority. So it has been like quite a challenge at the start because, you know, it's like a family dinner. You have to invite everybody. And it's always the case that it's kind of, you know, a tricky conversation because everybody has want to talk about what they did last Sunday, right? And also what they want to bring to the table. So a lot of excitement. And through those years, we were able to develop this expertise to understand how to bring at the same table to co-create together a product that at the end will be in the hands of patients and make their life better.
In doing my research, I also note that a significant part of your focus is on being able to develop this kind of technology to people who would be 60 years of age and older, because, you know, this is a very important group for us to be able to monitor and help them have the best potential healthcare outcomes. So when you take that into consideration, do you have to start to say, okay, we put together this program, how do we make sure that it is user-friendly for you and then meets all of the other protocols along the way, communicating down the system through to the healthcare provider and the payer?
Yeah, so, you know, I started this initiative like a little bit selfishly in the sense that, like, my grandma, which I spent all my life with and I was very close to, went into this difficult part of her life where she needed a lot of medical care. And I realized through that it was really hard for her to move around or to, you know, like, for example, you wake up. She dress up, she has to take a bus to go to the medical appointment where she's trying to arrive half an hour before. She waits 1 hour to see the practitioner. She sees the practitioner during 10 minutes, then get a file that she has to make sense of and to go or to go back to home. So it become like a whole day event for just one appointment. And when you imagine the difficulty of care for seniors sometimes, this is overwhelming. So having this kind of solution that she could receive care from home, from the comfort of her home, where she feel like she trusts the process and she receives her need in a timely manner, was kind of like the origin of all that process that we started. So we started Digital Health Circle really to try to help and push forward the need of the aging population. And how can we make sure that we hear their voice and answer, like, what do they really need in their care. And so that was the origin of Digital Health Circle. And because we become successful at this model of co-creation or community innovation, become like to work and produce technologies that are on the market now, we expanded to the health domain and digital domain in general.
You know, as a senior, most people have I don't want to say morbidities, but they have a variety of sort of competing concerns. Do I have the right, blood oxygen levels? What's my blood pressure like? A whole host of different measurements that have to be taken. How do you do that from them being at home so that the appropriate healthcare provider, whether it's their primary caregiver or even emergency services, are aware of whether or not somebody is maintaining, whether or not they're deteriorating, or if they're in distress and need help? Like, how can you do that from a remote perspective and make it work seamlessly?
Well, you know, I think telehealth has seen an incredible amount of progress in the last 10 years, but COVID per se has really amplified that. And digital health solution are here to stay. They are not just here for COVID, because as you said at the start, most of the population is satisfied by using those digital services and want more. I think there is a pivot right now in our society where we don't want really to depend, or at least completely, for care to practitioners. I think we want to be empowered through technology to understand and take care of ourselves. And I think that's what also our polling show, like, and also, you know, you come back to the seniors population. Seniors population is very diverse, right? Not like I will never picture like senior population of population that is suffering or sick all the time. That's not the case, right? These are probably the last years of our life. A lot of seniors are very active, like, you know, use cell phones, are on WhatsApp, on you know, Instagram, but also use digital health technology for their health. And I think this pivot of the situation where, or the society where we say, okay, now we want to have the tools in our hand to really work on day to day on our health, and not only when we are sick. This is where we're going to see more of the tools that we are using for general purposes be adapted to health. And also now the population is ready to, you know, just comment and give their feedback and guide industry or health authorities about, like, what do I really need now for me to be in a better health?
I can see how I can take a blood pressure cuff, put it onto a machine, and we can make it communicate with the healthcare provider. What happens, though, if I'm needing to measure oxygen uptake, or you know, red blood cell counts, or what if there's a neurological concern? Are these issues that you're able to start to move towards in digital healthcare that you can meet and satisfy?
I think, you know, this is going to be a very progressive step, and we're going to go step by step towards the most obvious link that digital health can help. So let's say you see, like you were talking about measuring your blood pressure, right, with your arm. Like, there is technology now that you press with your two fingers like that on a little tablet, and that gives you the pressure. So if you need to do that, this is as small as it gets. But so for the small care, things that we need to do in our life, I think this is going to be developed more and more. Because for two reasons, there is a big push towards emerging country to have cheaper medical device that with the help of digital health that can be distributed to a global part of the population. And then more on the occidental country, there is a push toward trying to understand how we can make our health system sustainable.
Right.
Like, because it's an incredible budget to run the healthcare system, for example, in Canada. So how can we make that more efficient, but also answer better the need of the Canadians? And I think digital health can do that, not transforming everything at once, but step by step. Like, one area that I will say where I think digital health has a lot of promise is chronic disease. Chronic diseases are diseases that go over time, right? And so this is the notion of digital health, like something that be a companion to you during the whole treatment, connect all the information, but also help you to take the right step, is very important. And like I got an example on that. So chronic disease, like the kidney disease, are a serious chronic disease. It touch 1 to 10 Canadians, so that's over like 4 million people in Canada. If you can imagine, the treatment is like is extremely complicated. You have to go to the hospital 3 times per week minimum. Each procedure lasts 4 hours. So one, we got reached by an entrepreneur His name is Michael, and he had like a passion for digital health, and he really wanted to kind of find a solution for this disease. And Michael is like, you know, like you and me, like, so Michael was, oh man, I'm not really talking about me, but I'm an immigrant, so I came late in Canada, and Michael also came late in Canada. I came from Jamaica when he was 9 years old. He started to go into electronic music, and then he finds this gift that he had for digital and say, I want to apply that to help people. He come with us to with this need and this idea on kidney disease. He created a small company that is called Iogo. This is a British Columbian company. So right in our backyard. And he had this idea that he could help by creating solution to help manage the dialysis treatment from home. Okay, so what we do as DHC Circle when we have somebody that's so passionate is to really bring them together with team of experts and bring everybody, the healthcare system, medical practitioner, patient, caretakers, but also other small companies to create a very strong team around that idea to be able to produce the digital health technologies that will really help those patients. And through several months of work, they were able to create a fantastic product and sign one of the largest contracts in Canadian history for a small company. And now today, this product is in the hand of patients and helping everyday patients to manage their dialysis from home.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to inch the conversation towards, I can see a real benefit here in helping, especially people who are senior, to you know, prevent them from becoming fragile. Because frailty, as I understand, you know, I had the great pleasure of interviewing Dr. Ken Rockwood a couple of years ago from Dalhousie University, and he says, you know, once you're on that frailty scale, you know, you're basically talking about entropy from here to the end of your life. Whereas if you can stay off of that frailty scale, this becomes fundamentally important to your to the quality of life and length of life. And I started thinking that what you're doing can play such a fundamental role in helping seniors stay on track so they don't start to slide down that scale.
Oh, yeah, totally. So right now, one part of our research in my lab at Simon Fraser University is to analyze tens and tens thousand of people and with their daily life activities, and to try to understand how with the use of very advanced computer science method, how, if we put all those data together, what are the factors that can really impact the like the improvement of brain health, for example, that is linked to frailty. So one of my PhD student, Emma Rodriguez, is working on that. And we really push the envelope. And what we found is actually more you advance into age, more what you do on an everyday basis is extremely important. And so having an active lifestyle is really important. You know, for example, like factors like talking over, on the phone with your friends is very important. So that's also one of the notions that we want to really push forward is this idea that we can always act on our life and our health, even at a later stage of our life.
It is fundamentally important. So before we run out of time, you know, off the top, I said, you know, BC is in a unique position to really be able to be a world leader in the delivery of this kind of digital online healthcare. What is it about, like, the I guess the environment that we're in right now that puts us in that position?
Well, I think one thing that has been very important to generate that is the government have really pushed forward with the help of the provincial and the federal government, have really pushed forward with organizations like Western Diversification Fund, this idea of like, we really need to help small companies. And through pushing those small companies, we help them to grow. And this network of small companies that are grow with Digital Health Circle have really created an environment where we have a great formation for technical and people that do this bridge between health and technical aspect of products. But also, I think the closeness with the universities and the talent that is bring up by those universities and the open-minded of health authorities. You know, like we just finished a project that we conducted in I think, like less than 3 months. So this is a company called Alavida that came to us and really wanted to do something for first-line health workers. And so we bring them and to communicate with Simon Fraser University faculty and student, but also Fraser Health Authorities. And so they got like really excited by this project of how can we help a first-line worker cope with this difficult situation at the mental health level. And it's always really hard when you suffer from mental health to, you know, ask for help. So they created a platform that a health worker could access from the comfort of their home or on their cell phone and find solution, help, support, but also like therapists that they can help. Also, you know, just understand what they are going through. So right now, today, after like a few months of work, this platform has been created with the help of very high qualified students. And now 30,000 health workers from Fraser Health Authority have access to this platform.
Not that the pandemic is anything that any of us invited, but it has helped to create the impetus so that we move forward and with much more acceptance and vigor than we might have otherwise. It might have taken longer to get to this point, and I think that it is an important step in our development.
You know, like the pandemic has been terrible and touched so many lives, and so, you know, it's difficult, but if there is a positive of that is how people have come together, you know, yes. How people have helped each other, have supported, and digital health has been kind of like the conduit for people to try to help other people, right? Like we had company come to us, but we are not doing digital health at all at the start and say, okay, we want to do that. We want to help. We want to, and so what all for one of all has been to really try to empower those actors to, but it has been like extremely satisfying for us and our team because we are able to help during this very tough time. And the number of ideas that have been generated through this pandemic to answer those questions and to find solution has been something that for sure is here to stay.
I can't thank you enough for taking the time to explain to us, you know, what you're doing there. And, you know, I wish you great success for all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate for you having me.